The church calls us today once again on the occasion of what we call a holy day of obligation, a time in which, just like a Sunday, we come to Mass and to reflect on these special days, certain mysteries of the life of Jesus Christ or of the Blessed Virgin Mary, on one occasion of the saints themselves. Reflect upon these particular points because they are so important to us in our consideration, so important in matters of our faith, that it's not enough for us to reflect on some things like a Sunday, on a Sunday for them, but to take them in their accordance as they come in the liturgical year following the calendar of the church, that we follow along with them completely and come together on this particular point so that we reflect on these matters. The Epistle and Gospel for tonight give us a wonderful idea of the understanding of what took place so many centuries ago, that first Ascension Thursday. We read, they dovetail well together, what St. Luke wrote in the Acts of the Apostles and what St. Mark wrote in his Gospel, speaking particularly about how our Lord had stayed with his apostles for 40 days after his resurrection. St. Luke tells us that he was there teaching them, helping them to understand certain things. St. Mark even mentions those particular points. But one thing that St. Mark brings up, it's a little bit in St. Luke's Acts of the Apostles, but St. Mark brings up, is that when Jesus came to be with them this one last time, if you will, while he'd be in his glorified body before them on earth, he came to have a meal, the last supper, some people have called it. And when he came to them, as St. Mark calls it, he says, he upbraided them, he corrected them, he reminded them. He kept them humble over their incredulity and hardness of heart, their unbelief, and through that unbelief, a hardness of heart came upon them. The hardness of heart where they wouldn't practice, live for God as a child of God. They would not overcome sin and temptation in their lives as they should. This is what they mean by hardness of heart. And it seems like the less faith there is in a person, the harder the heart becomes. And the service of God himself becomes something that is less and less sure within a particular person. And until faith is restored, a lively faith, not just saying, I believe in God, that's not enough. It's a lively faith. Something changes within me, in my prayers and my works and my thoughts and my studies, all these particular things. There's something that's alive in me. God is someone who is real beyond anything that I think of just in a catechism or some notion out there. He's real in my life in every way. That's people who have faith. And on several occasions recorded for St. Luke and his Gospel and St. Mark, it shows how God can use people who have individual weaknesses, human weaknesses in their way, but God can use them to accomplish his greater works. Let's go to what St. Mark tells us in the Acts of the Apostles. He says they've come together, they've had this supper after they've done that. They're on their way now to the Mount of Olives. They're coming from the upper room where they had this supper. It's probably a walk of maybe, 45 minutes to an hour, something of that particular nature. They're walking along the road heading to that particular point. They don't fully know everything that's there. Jesus has explained to them. He's told them many times. And their heads are so filled with so many other things, they don't stop to listen to the words he's saying. Well, they hear him, but they don't listen. Two different things. Hearing, you got that little auditory canal and you're here going, makes noise and you hear things like that, you know something's happening. That's hearing. Most of the time, that's what happens with children when they don't obey their parents. It's just, you can see in the dead hairline, deer and headlight look. They kind of look at you. They know, they hear them, but they don't listen. Listen means I'm going to take what I hear and put it into practice. The apostles were filled with all kinds of things. Maybe remembering all the things that Jesus had taught them. He told them the Holy Ghost was going to come to teach them more things. It just seems that they didn't pay as much attention to that. This was a weakness in them. And yet God is going to use these weaknesses to confound the strong. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon these men and make them changed men, strong men, lively in faith, and going forth to preach the gospel everywhere without fear. And on one day bring 5,000 souls into the church, another 3,000. And go even with a threat of martyrdom, they will go because they believe. And their human nature, their weaknesses, by the grace of God, are being conquered because they believe. It's talking about the Acts of the Apostles. At one point, tradition says that St. Philip, while they're walking along the road, Philip asked Jesus, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? If there would ever be a time when you think that Jesus would do a head slap like that, it would have been then. Have you not listened to me for all these times? Haven't you paid attention to everything that I have said? I'm not here to restore the kingdom to Israel. I'm not here to do a worldly kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. Besides that, that part of it is all in the hands of my Father who is in heaven. That part of it, he will take care of. It's not part of my doing, nor is it something that you need to worry about right now. Now, well, I will teach you. They believe, okay? They believe that their minds are so scattered and they're thinking of earthly things. Oh, spiritual, yes, the kingdom of heaven restored on earth. But that's not the promise that will come. Never has been. But they're so distracted by all these other thoughts on the inside. They hear, but they don't listen. And so they get corrected at this point. St. Mark brings that point up there. Jesus corrected them for their incredulity, their lack of faith. They believed in God, but they didn't have faith in him. He told them just a few weeks before his passion and death took place, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, he tells them. We go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man, and I think they finally learned at this point when he says Son of Man, he's referring to himself. The Son of Man will be mocked and spit on and scourged. Afterwards, he'll be put to death, but in 3 days, he will rise. Did their listening only go so far as thinking, he's going to be mocked, he's going to be scourged and spit upon? So the mind just gets all befuddled here, thinking, what's going to happen, what's going to happen, what's going to happen? They don't hear the last words. On the third day, he will rise from the dead. That would have given them such strength and courage when he was betrayed and during his passion and so many other things like that, that they would not have run away. But they did. That God uses weak tools to confound the strong. Because men know the weaknesses of these apostles. We've seen them, people will say, we know them, but something's changed in him. Jesus tells them, they abrade them, he corrects them for that, because he does not want them to fall back into those things again. They accept that correction. God bless them for that. A weaker person would have yelled back at Jesus, well, I didn't know, I was so sorry. No, they accepted the correction. They knew that Jesus was right. And they changed their lives based on that correction. So that when an angel tells them, why are you looking up into heaven? It comes back to their mind. They're not starting to hear now. Jesus told them, remain in Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost comes. He didn't tell them how long it would be. Remain in Jerusalem. They heard that. And now they're listening. The angel asked them, why are you standing and looking into heaven? Why? You've been told what to do. Have that spirit of faith that you need. Follow the words of this master. And the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And like I said, we know what happens with the Holy Ghost coming upon the apostles in this way. They were changed men. Any of their faults and failings from before are gone. They have a special gift given to them, which is not given to us. A charism of personal infallibility, personal impeccability. They would not sin, they would not err in teaching the doctrine, because the gospel had to be spread, and the Holy Ghost protected these 12 men, Matthias after Judas had died. The Holy Ghost protected these 12 men in the work that they had to do. They were strong, and through their strength, they helped others. I don't know if you caught the oration for today's Mass. Is this something, again, where we hear but don't listen, read but don't pay attention? The oration has us praying for recognizing the spirit of faith that our Lord has ascended into heaven. We believe not only that he has ascended body and soul into heaven, we believe he is there on the right hand of his Father. We believe that. We believe it with the firmness of our hearts. And the oration says that if we have that kind of a faith, that strong faith that we're supposed to have, then in our lives, we start to see a focus on heaven. We start to pay attention to the inspirations of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Holy Ghost like we've been explaining them, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost in our hearts and souls, all those things there, we start to pay attention to them. We are docile. If it's anything that I think of when I come to that particular oration for Ascension Thursday, it's always about this whole point of being docile. Something we've been talking about every Sunday now since Easter, being docile. Listening, paying attention. When the Holy Ghost gives inspiration, pay attention. Don't just listen to them. Hear them. Hear them in the heart. Hear them in such a way it's going to make a change. Hear them. And then what's going to come as an effect here is that everything will turn toward heaven. If heaven is our thought here, our heavenly goal, if everything is about heaven and eternal life in that particular way, two things are going to happen. More than two things, but two things will happen for sure. Our faith will get stronger and stronger every day. And insofar as it is possible, we will not sin. I want heaven. I believe in it. I believe Jesus is there. I've heard the Holy Ghost speaking in my heart. I want to act on it. I need to be a person of faith. I have weakness. God can use weak tools. But if I pay attention to the grace of God, the Holy Ghost comes in my soul. We don't become infallible like we'll never sin, but we have a strength. If we have this faith, this love, this desire to want to serve God, and our hearts, our minds, and our souls are raised above this earth on which we stand, that heaven is our true goal, and I don't want to miss it for anything. We've heard the story in the Old Testament about Esau and Jacob. Esau and Jacob, two brothers. One was born just seconds before the other. They made him the older one by birthright. That was Esau. Esau was a bit rough. Jacob was a bit more gentle. As their father was dying, he called to Esau to go prepare a meal so he could get the blessing that goes to the firstborn. Remember, his mother, Rebekah, hears this. Goes, tells Jacob, go take care of these particular things here for your father. He complains, says, I'm not like Esau. I don't have hairy arms. Things like, my father will know. My voice is not that of my brother Esau. Go. You know the story. He goes. The mother prepares a favorite meal for her husband as she knows it. Jacob brings it, presents it to Isaac, presents him there. And Isaac does. He says, the voice and all these are the voice of Jacob, but everything else is out of Esau. He says, and I give you this blessing. He gave him the full blessing that goes to a son of his first birthright. But you see, the whole problem had happened about a year or two before. Esau had sold his birthright away. The birthright, the most sacred things that could come upon a son in the Old Testament. Esau gave it away. He gave it to Jacob, sold it to Jacob. Why? For a pot of beans. He was hungry. Jacob had prepared a pot of lentils, and it smelled so good. And Esau said, I need some. He says, not enough here. And Esau said, I need it. He started to cry and complain. I need this food. I've got to have it. You have to give it to me. He said, okay, then sell me your birthright. He said, I give it to you. It's gone. It's yours. That fast, he gave it up. For a worldly thing of a pot of beans. Have you ever thought that this is why so many people lose heaven? They sell the birthright that you and I have as children of God for worldly gain, for worldly temptations, to selfishness, giving into selfish things and temptations all the time. Ever thought about that? They do. We do, if we're not careful. Ascension Thursday is a day that we're supposed to learn to live by faith, to pay attention to the Holy Ghost as he comes. To have our thoughts raise up to heaven. We are to be filled with faith on this day from this great mystery that we celebrate. And that faith, a lively faith, a real faith, something that is so much a part of us in every way, changes us. And heaven is our goal. No mere pot of beans. None of this stuff. I'm not going to sell it away for sin, temptation, and just afterwards say, well, it doesn't matter if I sin right now because I can just traipse off to confession, get forgiven. That's it. Real easy, real fine. No, that's selling your life for a pot of beans. That's not desiring in any way to be holy. It's to live by faith with heaven. goal in our minds. That's what we pray for at Mass today in Ascension Thursday. God can use weakness as we see if we've fallen into sin before, but if we repent and we change when the Holy Ghost comes upon us and we become people of faith, it changes our lives. And it'll change the lives of all those around us. Heaven will be our goal. And nothing but nothing will stop us from gaining there. But if not, we're no better than Esau. I know I'm the firstborn son. I know I'm a child of God. I know I have all these things. But temptation comes to sin. Oh, Father, I can't help it. I just, nothing I can do about it. Father, I can't. All these other people around. Please forgive me. He'll be crying like Esau, like he did after Jacob received the blessing from his father. Father, have you no blessing for me? And he said, the blessing I give you are the fruits of the earth. You sold your birthright for a pot of beans, then let the things of the earth be your blessing. We've got to have more faith in that. And we can. We truly can and will. If on this day we pray with the church for an increase of faith, so heaven becomes our goal, and then tomorrow we start the Novena to the Holy Ghost. 9 days of prayer like the apostles were engaged in for the coming of the Holy Ghost in our souls. The Holy Ghost is here with sanctifying grace. We want Him to increase in every way. We want His gifts to be so strong in us that we are docile, we are ready, we're paying attention. This is what it should mean for us today on this Ascension Thursday. This is where the differences will make in our lives. Please, God, we see that. Pray for that increase of faith. Increase of faith so much that heaven is the focus in your life. Heaven is the only goal you go after. I don't care about friends. I don't care about temptation. I don't care about any things that you think that you like and want to do that are simple. I'm not going to do them anymore. Heaven is my goal. Heaven is my goal. And nothing but nothing is going to have me go away from that, because I will not sell my birthright as a child of God for a pot of beans of the things of this earth and sinful life. Pray for that determination of will, that strength of will that comes from faith. And you'll see how much a change it'll make. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.